Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 39. Genesis, chapter number 39. Last week we began studying, teaching and preaching a little bit about the life of Joseph. As I said, there's much that can be said, gleaned from the life of Joseph. And I was thinking today, there's a lot of people that they're afraid of the Old Testament. They're afraid to read the Old Testament. They're afraid to study the Old Testament. And they miss out on a huge blessing when you cut out that part of your Bible. And one of the things that I was thinking about is Paul told the church at Rome in the book of Romans, chapter number 15 and verse number 4. And you can listen. If you want to mark the verse down, you can. And I think it's a good verse that you need to know where it's at to make reference to it. But Romans 15, verse number 4 says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And so the reason why we dive into Genesis chapter number 37 through chapter number 50 and look at the life of Joseph is because God let these things be written and recorded under divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so that you and I in 2025, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures and what happened in Joseph's life, that we might have hope, that God can get us through like He got these men through, that the same God that worked on Joseph is the same God that's working on you. Sometimes we get to thinking that Bible characters are way up here and we're way down here with God, but that's not the way it is. God loves all of us, amen? He died for everybody, individually. And you are special to God tonight. And I appreciate the Lord. And he said also, another verse I got to thinking about is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now all these things happened unto them." That's the Old Testament saints. In particular, the children of Israel. "They happened unto them for ensamples." That's a Old English word for to be an example. It was an example to us. "And they were written for our admonition." Somebody said, why did God give us the Old Testament? He tells us why He did it. "For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So here in Genesis chapter number 39, last week we looked at the pit. And I taught last week on the subject of when the pit becomes the best opportunity for your life. When the pit what was my title? It wasn't opportunity. When the pit is the best option for your life. There you go. And I'm glad somebody took some notes, amen. And it's a little bit of twist on words.
Hey, he said he had to put it all live.
Thank you, brother.
I'll work
that out. That's it, brother. Amen. And so, and then this week we're going to look at not the pit, but we're going to look at the prison. And so if I keep the theme of the title, I want to teach tonight on when the prison is the best opportunity. There's the word for your life. It's the best opportunity for your life. And that almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But let's look at Joseph's life here. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison." If the pit wasn't bad enough, here he is. He's in the prison. It was a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand." You say, why? Because the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Amen.
The pit's an interesting place, but I tell you, the prison, it's a place of accusation. You know the devil, the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. You go to prison, there's going to be people that are going to accuse you. The prison's a place of association. Most of the time, bad associations, isn't it? Not much good association with prison. A prison's a place of accommodation. You know, prisoners, they don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. The state feeds them. And here in the prison, we find that Joseph, the Bible says that the Lord was with them. But most people, they want God to promote them, not from the pit and the prison, but they want God to promote them straight from the palace. But Joseph tonight shows us that God can promote you from the prison just as easily. We're looking many times for that place of comfort. And Joseph, when he walked out of his father's house, he went from the father's house to the pit where his brothers put him, to Potiphar's house where he was lied about, to the prison where he spent all those years, and then eventually, in God's time, Joseph made it to the palace. But not one time, as I read Genesis chapter 37 through chapter number 40, not one time did we read where Joseph ever turned his back on God.
Right.
Not one time did he ever get bitter at God. Not one time did he ever quit serving God. Not one time do we ever see where God abandoned Joseph. Where God just left him for himself. Not one time did Joseph get bitter and start blaming others and blaming God and blaming those around him. The truth tonight is this, is the place that looks like the end to us, many times, it's just the beginning to God. We think, man, this must be the end. I'm in a pit. This must be the end. I'm in a prison. There's no way out. You may not like where you are tonight. And I hope you can see the analogy, the picture, the shadows, the types. When I'm talking about prison, I'm not preaching to a bunch of people that are in a physical prison. But God may spiritually have some of you tonight. You know, we don't know what people are going through. I've said that in my own life. You just don't know. You come in, you put your glad rags on, put a smile on your face, you sit down, you say, "How you doing, brother? Hope you have a great day." Someone says, "How you doing?" You say, "Wonderful. Man, it's been a great week." Not knowing you've been battling hell by the acre, amen.
That's right.
Battling the brethren, battling your own mind, battling, amen, your psychological, amen, spiritual fiery darts that are coming against your mind. You have no idea where people are, and yet many times you might not like it, but that's just where God's got you. He had him in prison.
Amen.
You might not even understand how you got in the situation that you're in, but you're there. You might not even see a way out, but you can trust this tonight. If God puts you there as he did with Joseph, he will eventually promote you from there. You see, the prison was a place where God took Joseph and promoted him. And Joseph learned that the prison, it was not punishment. You know what it was? Brother Helsman, the prison was preparation. The prison was a place where many times, you know, sometimes the prison becomes God's pathway to promotion. There was no way that Joseph was going to walk out of his father's house right into the palace doors where he ended up. God had to take a path and had to take this promotion path that Joseph was going to go through. And so the prison was the best opportunity that Joseph could ever have to get to where God wanted him to be. I'll give you three things tonight about the prison. Number one, I'm going to say this tonight. The prison became a place of reputation to Joseph. It became a place of reputation. Before God ever promoted Joseph publicly, God had to prove Joseph privately. You see, the world didn't see Joseph in prison, but God did. Pharaoh did not see Joseph in prison, but God did. And sometimes tonight, God puts you in a place where nobody knows you. He puts you in a place where nobody sees you. He puts you in a place where nobody even remembers you. So that the only testimony that matters is the one that God is writing in your life. God's writing it. God is taking us and he's molding us and he's making us. And this prison was a place where God began to develop his reputation. You say, what was it? His conduct in prison was consistent. Joseph, the Bible says, look at Genesis 39, verse number 22. The Bible says there, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, He was the doer of it. God, amen, had the keeper of the prison put all the prisoners under Joseph's responsibility because his conduct was consistent. And responsibility, you say, what is it? Responsibility is our response to his ability. God's doing something and we don't even see it many times. Joseph did not pout about being in prison. You know what he did? He performed. God was using him even in the prison. He didn't sit in a corner and give up. You know what he did? He served where God had him, in the prison cell. He did not wait for a better place. He worked in the worst place. I can't think of a worse place than prison. Amen. I don't want to go. Amen. I know some people like the prison. I just don't like it. Amen. I don't want to go to prison. My wife says I wouldn't survive a night. I'm talking about herself. She said I wouldn't survive a night in prison. I'm too big of a princess. Amen. I'm not a princess, but I don't want to go. Yet here he is. He's in this place, the worst place, and he's performing. A lot of Christians want God to use them in the palace, but they won't be faithful in the prison. God could never use Joseph in the palace until he was faithful in the prison. And so God is watching our faithfulness in the dark before he can trust us in the light.
Amen.
He's looking at us when nobody else sees us. In the dark dungeon of the prison. And who you are in the dark when nobody else sees but God is who you really are tonight.
That's right.
And nobody sees. Anybody serve God in here? Because we got an audience. We can put on a performance. And yet here he is. His conduct was consistent. Not only that, his character was commendable. He had every reason to be bitter. Wouldn't you say? I'd say if anybody had a reason to be bitter, it's Joseph.
Yes.
You say, well, there is no excuse. You go through what he went through. His brothers betrayed him. Those that you love the most are the ones that will hurt you the most tonight. You know why? Because you love. You care. And when you love deeply, you get hurt deeply. And it was the brethren, it hurt him. He loved his brothers. He loved his family. Yet they turned their back on him. Then Potiphar, you know, trusted him, and then his wife lied about it. Then he believed the lie. He should have known. By the way, that probably wasn't Potiphar's wife's first time. He knew. Listen, you don't have to be, amen, a rocket scientist to know if you're married to a dirty-legged woman. And that's what she was. She was a wicked woman. She was an ungodly woman. And yet he chose, probably for the peace in the home, he's had to blame somebody to believe the lie that she made up about him. And Joseph went to prison for a crime that he never committed, and yet Joseph never got bitter. He never got bitter. He never began to blame God and to blame others around him. He never let what was around him get inside of him. Don't let the bad around you be the bad that gets inside of you. Did you hear me tonight?
Amen.
Don't let the bad that's going all around you be the bad that gets down inside of you. Character isn't how you act when life is fair. Character is how you act when life is unfair. When life deals you a bad hand and life, amen, life's not fair and people are cruel. Hear you what? His character was commendable. There's not, you can't really find any negative said about Joseph. One of the greatest types of Christ in all the Bible, just a young, was in the prison 17, or the pit 17 years old, as time marched on in all of these years, and all the way through his 20s, all the way up until he was 30 years of age. All this time as God was molding him and making him, his character was commendable. And then his credibility was confirmed there in the prison. When Pharaoh needed someone trustworthy, Joseph's reputation walked ahead of him. I mean, Joseph's reputation was right there and Pharaoh took notice. You can't buy a reputation like that. Money can't pay for that.
Right.
You, listen tonight, you can't fake a reputation like that. You can for a little while, but not for years and years and years and years and years. It is earned one obedient day at a time. As we sing that the song, Brother Jason sings the other song, day by day. That's how you live the Christian life. Day by day. Can you serve God when it's boring? Can you serve God when the tendency is to get bitter? Can you serve God when life deals you a bad hand? You know what happens eventually? Your credibility is confirmed by who you are. God was making him. And sometimes God hides you like he did Joseph before he can highlight you in public. He'll just take you and hide you somewhere like he did Moses on the backside of the desert. Nobody around, just God and Moses. And he was working on him because he was making his deliverer to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I'm just saying God knows how to hide us. Sometimes he'll bury you before he'll bless you. Sometimes tonight he puts you in a private place before he can build you up in a public place with a public testimony for God. So number one, the prison was a place of reputation. Joseph, the Bible says, that the Lord was with Joseph in verse number 21. And the keeper of the prison committed all of the prisoners into Joseph's hands. He had a place of reputation there in the prison. But then number two, the prison became a place of revelation. You see, Joseph did not just get authority in prison. Joseph got some answers in prison. You ever wanted some answers? Going through something and you're saying, God, why is this happening? God, what does this mean? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Why do you got me in the grinder? Why do you keep taking things from me? Why do you keep hurting me? It's been said before that it's doubtful whether God can use a man greatly until he hurts him deeply. God will take you and he will make you and he'll take you and he will break you. And God, amen, put him in prison and say, hey, now I'm going to do some things in your life because this prison is now going to be a place of revelation to Joseph. He's going to show him some things. You say, what did he reveal? He revealed some things about himself. You see, God revealed, number one, his power to Joseph. There was two prisoners that came to Joseph with some dreams. If you can read it there, if for sake of time, we don't have time to preach all the way through here. Just kind of surveying this a little bit. But you know the story, if you've been in church any length of time at all. There's the butler and the baker. These two prisoners that came to Joseph, and they had some dreams. You know what Joseph said? Look at chapter 40, verse number 8. Look at what he said. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. You know what? It was a place of revelation. God was going to show him something about his power. And Joseph never takes any credit for it. Look at chapter 41 and verse number 16. Look at what he told Pharaoh. In Joseph, chapter 41, verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, he said, it's not in me. It's not in me. You see it? It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Tonight the world will not be reached by men, women, boys, and girls that think that they have the answer in themselves. But it's God that's the revelation. It's God that's the revelator. It's God, the one that reveals his power in us. Joseph never looked at him and said, I'm gifted. He never said, look at me, I'm special. He never said, you know what he said? He just said, this right here, this belongs to God. This belongs to God. When you give God the glory in the prison, he can trust you with authority in the palace.
Amen.
I personally believe that these two, the butler and the baker, these two men are a picture. It's just me. And honestly, I've never really heard this preached much, so I actually wanted to ask Pastor about today and I forgot. So we can talk about it later. but I think maybe the butler and the baker are a picture of the two thieves on the cross that hung next to Jesus Christ.
Good.
Because one of them said, "Remember me," and he lived. And the other one said, "Save thyself and us," and he died and went to hell. The butler was a picture, I believe, of the repentant thief, which was restored and lifted up, while the baker is a picture of the rejecting thief who was judged and put to death. So even in the midst of all that's going on in Genesis 37 through 50, God in this text, as he's written these things and preserved these things, in the midst of these dark happenings in prison with Joseph and all of the things that are going on, God gives us little glimpses of glory in these beautiful gospel shadows. The butler on one side, the baker on the other. One died and one lived. Joseph being the type of Christ. You see, he had the power of God revealed to him. But not only that, the prison was a place of revelation because God revealed his power. Number two, God revealed his purpose to Joseph. Joseph learned that his gift was not for himself. Joseph's gift was for others.
Amen.
Because there were some people that needed some answers.
That's right.
There were some people that came to Joseph and said, "Hey, what does this mean? What's going on? What's God doing?" And Joseph said, "Hey, it's not in me. I can't help you, but I know one who can."
Yes, yeah.
And it's God. He's the one who can. And God revealed his purpose. God gave all of us some gifts. By the way, gifts that only help you are just talent. But gifts that help others, you know what they are? They're ministry. They're called in the Bible spiritual gifts. And when each one of you got saved by the grace of God, if you're saved in here tonight, from Brother Lauren all the way around, every single person in here, God gave you spiritual gifts. You said, "No, I'm not me." Oh, yeah, you. We all got them. When he saved, he gave it. That was God's gift to you, one of them. It was spiritual gifts. And that gift, amen, every single person has a different one. And that gift was given to you by God for you to help and edify the body of Christ. That's why the church is like a body. My body has different members. I got thumb, I got pinky, I got an ear, I got eyes and nose, I got toes, I got arms, I got legs. So we got all kinds of members going on in our body, and they're all different. And you say, "Well, this one's not really as important as another one." If you don't believe that, just walk in your kitchen about 2 a.m. with the light off and hit your little toe on the edge of a couch. And you'll see how important the little member is. I'm just saying every member is important to God, to the body of Christ. You can find these gifts in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. We don't have time tonight to go through all of these. But can I say tonight, don't try to be somebody you're not. Joseph tonight did not wait until he got out of prison to use his gifts. You know what he said? He said, "If God put me in prison, God must expect me to serve in prison." Here I am. And some Christians are waiting for a better place to obey God. They're looking for another opportunity. They fall into the pit of waiting for the next best thing in their life. And when they get there, it's really not good enough, so they wait for the next best thing. And every place they're at is just a stepping stone, and they become double-minded in all their ways. They never get rooted and planted where God's got them. If God's got you in the pit, bless God, bloom where you're planted. And if he's got you in prison, use your gifts that God gave you and bloom where you're planted, even in a prison cell. Joseph didn't wait. He was right there, and he was using the gifts that God gave him for the purpose that God had him there for. I've seen the most beautiful flowers. I remember hiking South Sister Mountain. There's three sisters in Oregon. There's Faith, Hope, and Charity. It's what they're called in South Sisters. In September of 2020, during COVID, I went out to Oregon and hiked up this mountain with actually Brother Brad Whitrock, the pastor that's at Shady Acres, me and Hudson Doucette and a friend of mine by the name of Matt Kinman. 13.3 miles up a mountain, and when we got up to the top, It's all these rocks and all, I mean, there's hardly anything. You're past the tree line. But you know what I saw up there? In these little cracks. I mean, with hardly anything. Just some frozen places and ice, not a lot of color. You know what you find up there? Little flowers. Little flowers that were coming up through the cracks that had some buds on them. They were winter flowers of some sort. I don't know what they were, but they were beautiful. Not very many people got to enjoy them because not very many people got to go up there. But you know what they did? They bloomed where God planted them.
Amen.
You and I need to learn, even if we're in the crack in the middle of nowhere, in a cold, lonely place where there's not much attention and there's not much accolade and there's not much excitement, that we just take where God put us and we bloom where God plants us. It's God's business where He plants us. He planted us. If you're here tonight and you're in the will of God, God planted you right here. It's where God put you. You say, what's my job? Bloom. Bloom where God plants you. God revealed His purpose. Not only that, God revealed His plan to Joseph. Joseph did not know what God was doing. God never set Joseph down and said, this is what I'm doing in your life. Just stay patient. You're going to be here for this amount of time. This is what I'm going to do in the next couple months, the next couple of years. But eventually, Joseph, this is what's going to happen. He never got that. God just began to reveal His plan. Those two dreams in prison would begin to open the door to Pharaoh's throne room. After the butler and the baker, then Pharaoh had his dreams. And most of the time when God's working, you don't see the plan of God. We see the prison walls. We see the bars. We see the prisoners. We smell the stench. And we see the dead bodies around us. And we see the loneliness. We see the isolation. We see all the things that we're missing out on in life. But God sees further than the bars. He sees the end from the beginning. God eventually in His time and in His perfect wisdom revealed His perfect plan for Joseph's life. And you know what tonight? God will do the same for you. But you just got to stay where God puts you. Stay where He puts you. The prison was a place of reputation. It was a place of revelation. And then I'm done tonight. The prison was a place, listen now, of relaxation. Man. Really? Oh yeah. Not physical relaxation. Not much relaxation physically, comfortably in a prison cell. But I'm talking tonight about something that goes way beyond the physical. I'm talking tonight about spiritual rest. The peace of God, as Pastor says, he says, I'm addicted to peace. I love that. Joseph was addicted to peace. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Joseph learned to stop trying to get out of prison, to get out of the place where God had him, and to start trusting God to bring him out of the prison. Listen now, in God's time. God has a different timetable than you and I do. Because God makes everything what? Beautiful. In His time. So what did God teach him? Well, it was a place of relaxation, spiritual rest, because God taught Joseph how to wait in prison. I hate waiting. Maybe that's why God has got me the majority of my life waiting on Him. Life's all about waiting, isn't it? Joseph asked the butler to remember him, but the Bible says that the butler forgot him. You know it's hard when you're forgotten by those that you love and those that you help. Joseph will help that old boy. But he forgot him. Look at Genesis 41, verse number 1. Look at this. I love this. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. It was 2 full years of waiting.
Two full years of silence. Two full years without any answers. But listen tonight, church. If a man had gotten Joseph out of prison, man would have gotten credit for it. God didn't get, amen. God is going to make sure that nobody gets the credit but God.
Amen.
God is a jealous God. Listen, Kathleen and I learned that this year. You heard our testimony Sunday night where we get and we prayed. And I asked some of you men to pray. And I said, hey, pray about this situation. I'm going to go talk to this brother. Then we really need God to do it. And the brother came back and said, no. Oh, frustrated. Now what are we going to do? We're in a pickle. We're in a mess. It's going to take us 15, 18 years to get out of this mess. It's way too big for Brian Green. And God said, uh-uh. I'm going to go over here to Fort Worth. I'm going to talk to this old boy. And I'm going to have him start looking at you. By the way, he was already looking at me for 9 months. While he's doing all this praying, I had no idea. There's an unseen hand back behind the scenes what God was doing. And you know what God was teaching? God was teaching, hey, Brian and Kathleen, you're going to have to learn how to wait on God. Wait. Wait. I like the first few words of chapter 41, verse number 1, where the Bible says, and it came to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't come to stay. It came to pass. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God taught Joseph, number one, I'm talking about spiritual rest. If you're going to have spiritual rest and relaxation, you're going to have to learn how to wait on God. We want God to do it. We want Him to be like a genie in a bottle. Come on. Give us our wishes. I want this, this, and this. Do it right now. God says, no. I'm not your genie in a bottle, and I'm not your bellhop. I'm God.
Right, man.
You better learn how to wait. You have to learn how to wait. Because God does everything beautiful in His time. And number two, God taught Joseph not only how to wait, God taught Joseph how to worship in prison. You know what I love about Joseph? He didn't turn cold on God. He didn't complain. He didn't get bitter. He just stayed faithful while he waited. And most of us hate to have to wait upon God. I got to show you something in the New Testament and then something in the Old Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. Everyone loves this verse. You got to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. This is one of the ways, by the way, you study your Bible is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And God will reveal truth to you as you begin to compare Scripture with Scripture. Spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. We all love this verse and we quote it when it's talking about the things that God has for those of us that are saved by the grace of God, those that love Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, look at it. But as it is written. Now Paul, wait a minute. Where was that written? We're going to look at it in just a second. He's quoting the Old Testament. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered to the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that what? That love Him. Look at Isaiah 64, verse number 4. This is what Paul was quoting. Isaiah 64, verse number 4. He's quoting this book here from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 64 and verse number 4. Look at what the Old Testament says, what Paul was quoting from the Old Testament. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that, what's the next word?
Waiteth.
For him. Now wait a minute, Paul. I thought that the Bible says waited. You said it for them that love Him. But when you love God, Paul says you're going to wait on God. You see, they're kind of one and the same, if you will. Those that truly love God are willing to wait on God in His timing. And if you'll wait on God, then God will teach you through loving Him and waiting on Him how to worship Him. When you love God, you'll wait. Then you'll learn how to worship. And because Paul said this, Paul knew something about singing. Paul knew something about worship. Paul knew something about songs in the night. And here Joseph is, like Paul was in the future. He learned something about how to sing in prison. And if you can sing in the prison, you'll learn how to shout in the palace. When you're in the dark places. Job 35, verse number 10 says, "But none saith, where is God my Maker, who giveth songs in the night?" Psalm 42, verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me." My prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 77, 6 says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit may diligent search." You see, tonight, if you can worship on the bottom, God can trust you on the top. God can trust you in an elevated position if you learn how to worship. Because peace is not the absence of bars. It's not the absence of the prison. Peace is knowing that God has not forgotten you in the prison. He knows, hey, the Lord was with Joseph. God was with him every step of the way. I was thinking this afternoon as I was studying this about Genesis chapter number 22. Look at Genesis 22 very quick tonight. We're almost finished. Genesis 22. You know the story. This is Abraham and Isaac. The sacrifice there on Mount Moriah, one of the mountains there in the land of Moriah. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, and go sacrifice him there on one of the mountains. So he's making his way up there with his son. He's got the wood. He's got the fire. Of course, the question was asked, where is the sacrifice? You say, what's going on? Sacrifice. This is a picture of sacrifice. But look at what Abraham said in verse number 5. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and do what?"
Worship.
First time in your King James Bible, worship is mentioned. He said, "I'm going to come again to you." And as you know, the story takes him up there. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And then the Lord stops him there from sacrificing Isaac. In verse number 12, look at what the Bible says. He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him." This is what God said to Abraham. Look at what he said. "For now I know that thou fearest God." And then God said, "Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You say God knows everything. Evidently, God reserves part of His nature into not knowing so that we can prove to God that we really love Him. You say God saw all that? No, no. Listen, God said He reserved part of His omniscience in Abraham's life. And after Abraham, by the act of faith, was willing to offer his son a sacrifice to worship God, he said, "Hey, I just wanted to know, amen, if you were willing to do it." And they stopped him and he said, "Now I know, because I saw with my own eyes, Abraham, that you were willing to go all the way and worship me, even if it meant sacrifice." So God taught him how to worship. And worship is going to cost you some things. God is going to take His knife like He took there on Mount Moriah. And He's going to teach you how to worship. Many times He takes His knife and He cuts some things out of our life. We don't like when God whittles on us. When He knocks the rough edges off of us and He tries to make us a polished shaft so He can take us and launch us off into a lost and dying world that we might be effective and usable for His honor, for His glory. But you say, "I just want to worship God." But you can't worship God without sacrifice. It was sacrifice. God taught him how to worship. And then lastly here, God taught Joseph how to watch. Joseph learned how God moves. Joseph learned who God uses and when God works. And by the time the prison door opened, Joseph Was it the same young man that went into the prison all those years before? He entered in him as a dreamer and he came out as a leader. He entered with questions, but Joseph came out with some answers. He entered with pain, but he came out with a purpose. He entered hurt, but he came out a hero. He entered the minority, but he came out the majority. He entered empty, but Joseph came out full. He entered on the bottom, but he came out on the top. He entered stripped of his robe and of his coat there, and he came out, amen, clothed. He entered poor, but he came out rich. He entered as a slave, but he came out as a Savior. And sometimes God will change our location. And you know what he did? He did change Joseph's location. He said, I'm going to take you from the pit, put you in Potiphar's house. But it's not going to be long. I'm going to change it again. I'm going to put you in prison. Man, here we go again. You ever said that to God? Here we go again. I mean, I feel like I just came out of a trial. Now I'm back in another one, God. Oh, listen, don't let foolish things come out of your mouth. Other times God changes you in your location like he did Joseph. As the McCamey's saying sometimes, that sometimes God calms the storms, but sometimes God calms the storm in me. He lets the storm around us rage, doesn't he? Remember when my mother-in-law was in the hospital there right before she died, she looked at my wife and Lyvon and Jack and Gary and all the families. We all stood around. She's getting ready to die. She had sepsis and her organs were shutting down. And she said there on the deathbed, she said, no matter what happens today, let's make God look good. Let's make God look good. The devil will try and take your song tonight. Don't take your harps and hang it on the willow tree like many have. Don't pick them up and start singing again. Let God use you again. Don't stay down in the dumps. See, Pharaoh didn't send for a prince. You know who he sent for? When he needed some help, and he was in a mess, he sent for a prisoner. And Joseph did not escape prison. Joseph was escorted out. It wasn't a great escape plan. How to get out, like the Shawshank Redemption. God just went right in there and escorted him out. Took him straight to the palace. When he walked out of that cell, he walked right into his calling. God's calling for his life. The prison was not the end of Joseph's life. It was the stage where God prepared his promotion. Tonight, some of you may feel buried. You may feel forgotten. You may feel trapped. But if God can find Joseph in a prison, he can find you where you're at in New Canaan, Texas. Amen. Right where you're at tonight, God can find you. No bars can hold the plan of God. No guard can stop the promises of God. No Pharaoh can ignore and pass over the man that God had, the man of God, Joseph. God's ready to promote us. You know what happens? Just like in Joseph's life. The chains fell off. The prison doors were open and the king starts listening. And God gets the glory out of it all.
Amen.
Sometimes the prison is the best thing that could ever happen to you and I. Because the prison is a place where God prepares his greatest promotion for our life. That's what God was doing. I'm finished with this. In Daniel chapter number 3, you know about the three Hebrew children, don't you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They bound them. And as you know, Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he said, hey, didn't we not cast three men into the fire? He said, I see four of them. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. First time the word Son of God was mentioned in your King James Bible, right there in Daniel chapter number 3. Bible says that they walked out of that fire there and they had no smell of smoke on them. The only thing that was burned on them is what the world put on them. Burned out of them. Not a hair of their head singed. Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that day that everybody worshiped the God of Abraham, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And right there at the very last verse of Daniel chapter number 3, listen to what it says. It says, then after the fiery furnace, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There was no promotion without the fire. Tonight, when the prison is the best opportunity for your life, God can take these things. He can use whatever you're going through tonight. And we all got different sets of trials. And I hope you can take the shadow or the picture of the prison. You can apply it in your heart to what you're going through. We all got things tonight where we feel bound in prison. But let's just keep on trusting God. The Lord was with Miss Katie. The Lord was with Brother Gary. The Lord was with Pastor Hitch. And the Lord was with Miss Cindy. You just put your name in there. God can use it to promote you to His will, His calling for your life. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray tonight that something I said from the book, the Lord would help and encourage your saints. Keep on loving you and serving you. And Father, help us, Lord, to heed, Lord, the promptings and the wooings and the voice of the Holy Ghost in our life. We ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.